you, Brother Rick. Your brethren of the Associated Bible Students of Central Ohio would desire to have their love expressed to you. Specifically, Sister Alnita McAllister asked that her love be conveyed to you. Brother Ray and Sister Karen Buckite asked that their love be conveyed to you. We, as always, ask an interest in your prayer as we endeavor to serve the Lord, that we might be faithful in doing this. Brethren, several years ago, our class decided to study Volume 2 as a study. And in doing so, brethren, I found that it was very difficult for me to keep everything in line and try to remember as to where on the chart of the ages things belong. And I remembered at that time that when I was in the East in 1959, I was working at the Dawn, and Brother Levi Jacobs came into town. And when Brother Levi Jacobs came into town, Brother Ray Krupa at that time asked me as to whether it was all right if he would stay in the room with me, be my roommate. And I said yes. And I was the richer for it. One of the things that Brother Levi Jacobs taught me, that when you have a question, one of the things you want to do is try to figure out where on the chart of the ages it goes. Where do you place that? And when you find where you place it, you've got half the answer already. And in basically speaking, when we begin to study the chronology at that time, I put together a chart. And a little bit later on, you'll see that chart just for a brief moment. And it basically took and assembled all the different parts together on one chart. Well, then a little bit later on, here we got into discussion with various brethren in reference to the subject of chronology. And again, I wanted to take and lay it down on electronic form, paper as case may be, so that I could clearly see as the relationship to one aspect of chronology to the other. And what I'd like to do today with you is to share that with you, share my study with you. Maybe it will be a help to you in understanding the chronology, at least as I see the pastor presented it. Okay, this slide here is a favorite of mine, and it was just developed just 2 weeks ago when I sat with Brother Edmund Jesuit, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. I need to point this towards that. We're going to talk about the chronology of the Bible, and specifically, the harmonizing of the evidence of that. And I emphasize the word harmonizing. If I can get no other thought across to you than this one, is I would like you to look at how all the pieces of this puzzle fit together. And we're going to use the chart of the ages as the background for doing that. Now, because of the fact that this is a two-hour study plus, we're going to skip over a number of aspects that we dealt with in previous discourse here. And where the items that we talked about in previous discourses started out with the seventh creative day. Everything about chronology that we're talking about deals with this particular period of time, the 7,000 years that we refer to as the seventh creative day. That's the foundation of basis, is point number one. And if it doesn't fit within this, then it doesn't belong there. The second aspect of it is that we learned that in every creative day, there was an evening and a morning. And the third aspect of it, of course, is the chronology as the pastor laid it out in this form. And brethren, please be aware of the fact that we're starting with the fall, not with creation here on this, and therefore, I'm used to having a computer next to me and I having that little mouse that I could take and use as a as a pointer. So as long as this lasts and it's running out of juice, we're starting with 1,654 years from the fall to the time of the flood. So that's the beginning of it, and we are not going to specifically dwell a great deal on each one of the points of that, but this is laid out very clear for us in the volume, in volume 2. The point that I would like you to remember in reference to this is the point that the pastor makes on page 43 here. Nothing more simple and exact to a day than this could be asked. That's the way he summed it up. And therefore, we have that first period of time. Again, we're going to go through this part of it very quickly. Again, this is from the flood to the covenant, and the simple statement, this too, is very simple and exact, page 44 of volume 2. The third period of time that was on our chart was the period from the covenant with Abraham to the giving of the law, and we have the scriptures in front of you. Again, we're going to look through these very quickly. If someone would like to have these slides, we can give them to them on paper form or electronically. The pastor says on page 47, thus we have our third period clearly established. So the pastor is establishing this as being a clearly established thought. The fourth period is the period from the Exodus to the division of Canaan among the tribes. The fifth is the period of the judges, and here we have the pastor's comments. Were it not that the New Testament supplies the deficiency? If it wasn't for the New Testament, there would be no foundation, but clearly there is. Page 49 of volume 2. The period of judges are listed out here for us very nicely, according to the scriptures, with the scriptures attached there too. The pastor's statement here says, and both are clearly stated in the New, which we already mentioned there. And he says, can we suppose that this merely happened so? And, of course, you're going to have to ask yourself that question, and you're going to have to answer it one way or the other. And hopefully, when we go through this, you'll be able to see this beautiful harmony and the way the pieces fit together to the point where it will make it easier for you to answer it. We have period of kings, according to Chronicles, there before us, all listed out with the scriptures that are related there too. The 70 years of desolation, the period from the restoration to AD 1, and again, the pastor uses his statement, it is well established by secular history as a period of 536 years. Okay? And then a summary, leading you up to AD 1 here, and those are the same figures that you saw on the chart of the ages when we began here. From there, we go on to the end of a period of 6,000 years, and the pastor says, thus we found a clear and connected line of chronology from creation to the beginning of the Christian era, AD, and then in all, a period of 4,128 years, that's from creation, remember, not from the fall, which together with 1,872 years of the Christian era makes 6,000 years from creation, again, emphasizing the fact that we're talking about from creation here on this slide, to the end, to the year 1873, or when 1873 began, which we believe was October. The last period, the 10th, is a 1,000-year period, because we already reached 6,000 years, and we have the 1,000 years, and we are clearly told in the scriptures that Christ would reign 1,000 years. So we have that last period of time that's listed there. And very quickly, we've gone through the 10 stages there that the pastor brings out and sums it up. We'd like to go on from there and now look at specifics. And in reference to these specific little items, and I use that term, I guess, maybe wrong. Maybe I shouldn't say little items. These items of chronology that relate thereto. And these are items that each one of us have to take and harmonize with a total. They have to fit. That's what Brother Levi taught me. You have to fit it into the plan. You have to understand where it goes and how it fits. And so the first one is the parallels. The parallels we have understand started with the death of Jacob. When Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and Jacob died, and God changed his way of dealing with the nation. Rather than with individuals, he began to deal with the nation or the 12 sons of Jacob, or the 12 sons of Israel as his name was changed. That lasted up until the death of our Lord. And the pastor has brought to our attention, and we agree with it, that it was a period of 1845 years. It included the period of the judges. This 1845 years included the period of judges. It included the period of the kings. It included the desolation, that little period of time right there. And it also included the period of the end of the desolation, or from the end of the desolation to the death of our Lord, the 536 plus 33 and a third years. Okay? As far as the 1845 years. Now, this is a parallel, as was brought out in Brother Bill's presentation this morning, that there was this like period of time, this double over, this double a period of time. And so therefore we have here is another 1845 years that would take us up until the time of the beginning of the reign of Christ. Now Brother Bill's there took another aspect of the parallels and applied it from not the time of our Lord's death, but let's see, he applied it to 1878, so it would be from the time of our Lord's death until 1878. Okay? At that time, specifically, according to our understanding, if it was a double, the point of the double was that there was 1845 years of favor, and there would be a corresponding 1845 of disfavor or lack of favor. And at the time that the second period of 1845 years was over, favor should return to Israel. And very specifically, something should happen. Something should indicate that favor has been returned to the nation of Israel. And in the video this morning that you saw, there was a little community, a kibbutz that was established in Israel called Petah Tikva. A clear sign that favor had returned to the nation of Israel. This is the chart that I designed several years ago for to help me to understand all the different features of chronology. And what you saw in those early slides is this part here you can't read. All I did was packed it in there because I wanted to have something that I could see in front of me. I couldn't put it on an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. I had to make it larger. But it has all the features to it. Now, brethren, there has been some questions that have come up in reference to the subject of chronology. Has it changed or not? And the next slide I'm going to show is specifically a letter that I received there where I asked for it to be outlined specifically as to what the differences were so that you could clearly see that these are not just ideas on my part, but they are specific changes. This letter was received from Brother David Rice on September 7th of 2001 there. And specifically, I asked him, just give me the straight facts as to what are the differences so that I could work with them, because I wanted to do what Brother Levi taught me to do. I wanted to put it on the chart. I wanted to see as to how it affected things. And so this is what I did. He says, use 463 years for the period of kings rather than 513. And we saw in an earlier slide that the Brother Russell showed us that we should use 513. And then he says this makes a 50-year difference. He said use 587 years B.C. for the date of Zedekiah's fall rather than 606 B.C., given a 19-year difference. And he said use 349 years from for the judges rather than 450. It gives a 101-year difference. And then a little bit later on, he talks about 1 year. But we should note that it brings us to 2043. That's the chronology that he would like us to work with. And so my desire to do was to study this out and see how it affected. And so from here on in, that specifically is what we're going to look at as to what the chronology that the pastor presents to us is and what differences that there might make. We talked about this parallel. If in providing you take out of this period of 450 years and 513 years, you take out 50 years and 101 years, and then a little bit later on, 19 years and so on and so forth, that's going to cut something out. And in this case here, we're cutting time out of the 1845 years, or time out of the entire chronological picture. And my statement is, if you shorten this period of time by 171 years, then your parallel now is no longer 1845 years in length. You have a parallel of only 1674 years. That's your new parallel period of time. And if you shorten that period of the parallel, I'm running out of juice, over here, then you also have to shorten the other one. It's a required if it's a parallel. It's absolutely required. You must do it. Okay? What is the result of that? Is very simply, favor then returns to Israel in 1707. It didn't happen. It just didn't happen. Petatikva was not established, nor was any other. So we have a cost related to changing the chronology in that case. Let's talk about the 2,520 years. I really enjoyed my study of the 2,520 years, and I can only touch a little bit on it today. But I kept on running across one word in my study of 2,520 years, and that was the word more. The text of Scripture found in Leviticus 26:18 says, and if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. Seven times more. And then again, in the 21st verse, if ye walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. This word more kept on appearing. And when I looked at Brother Edgar's charts, sure enough, he showed that there was a period, or two periods of 2,520 years. And here you have the one that ends with the end of the first 1,000-year day. Remember the words of our Lord that says that in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And so from that standpoint on, there we had 2,520 years up until 606 BC as being the first 2,520 years, and then the second period from 606 BC to 1914 is another 2,520 years, where the nation of Israel, as punishment, would be under the foot of the Gentiles. Seven times more. It was at this point that the seven times more began. Right here, 606 BC, at the beginning of desolation. And it began to happen to them because of the fact that they were taken into captivity and their land was desolate. It was at the same point that the 70 years of desolation began, as is brought out there. Interesting enough here that the period of the end of the evening was in 626 prior to this period of time, and it is also, of course, the beginning of the morning period of time. And I think that's significant. And I'm only going to make a suggestion here, because I have no concrete foundation maybe to even say this. And it appears to me that the difference between the morning period of time that took place prior to 626 BC and the evening time that took place, I said it backwards, didn't I? Okay, let's do it again. The difference between the evening time that took place before 626 BC and the morning that took place afterwards has to do with specifically what the Lord is doing, what the Heavenly Father is doing. Because at this point, it's as if He has taken over and He's saying, this is the way it's going to be. All the jubilees that took place before this and all the sacrifices of the tabernacle that took place before this didn't bring the nation of Israel or the world of mankind to a point where they could have or be in an atonement with God, except for Okay. More could be said in reference to that evening and morning. If we take and cut 170 years out of this period of time, if we take and slice that period of time out and take and put it in afterwards someplace down here, that's going to affect your 2,520 years. It's going to make it shorter. And there's nothing you can do about it. You just, if you take it out, you lose it. And so, therefore, the 2,520 years, if you go from that point backwards, it has to begin before Adam's first day is over, number one. And number two, the end of the Gentile times takes place before our Lord even returns. There's an effect. There's a cost related to changing our chronology from this standpoint, it appears. The end of the seven times more. This is what we believe that it should come to. It's interesting to note specifically this 40 years, and there's a lot of discussion in reference to the 40-year period of time. Some views are different on it, as case may be. But the scripture very clearly says that in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up the kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to others, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. We see two things in this. We see the 40-year period of time from 1874 to 1914, and we see the specific work that is taking place. The specific work is setting up the kingdom. There is some work that is being done there. And that, of course, is a kingdom which you must believe will never end. The end results of this, it will never end. It doesn't say that by 1914 the kingdom will be completely set up. It doesn't say that in 1914 the old kingdom will have fully blown away, as case may be. But as the pastor says in the foreword, it says that you should see the eviction starting to take place. Here we have our Lord's reign beginning 1874, and you have the scripture that relates to the work that starts there at that time. Let's talk about the Jubilees. The Jubilees is a big subject and has been touched on somewhat today already. The beginning of the Jubilees, according to what we have learned here, was when Israel entered into the land in 1575, and the first Jubilee cycle began at that particular time. We have, in studying the Jubilee picture, we have noticed that there are specifically two areas that we often talk about. The one is the Jubilees as viewed by the law. And here we have that there was 19, and you cannot see the one because the arrow is kind of overlapping it there, but it's 19 cycles of 50 years, and then you have from that, because that at that point in time, it ceased. The Jubilee cycle ceased because they could no longer keep the Jubilees. And the reason why they couldn't keep the Jubilees, excuse me, I walk away from this microphone, maybe I should move it a little bit here. The reason why they couldn't is because of the fact they were taken into desolation. They were not in their land. They couldn't keep the Jubilee cycle. And so you have that. And the pastor puts this, and I redrew this because I couldn't get a good sharp drawing by scanning it here. I redrew this, but it comes pretty close to being what the pastor has there. We have down here, thus, the year which began October 1874 was the 2500 year, but since the antitype is larger than the type, 1,000 years instead of 1 year, 1875 beginning October 1874, instead of being a Jubilee year, was the first of the 1,000 years of Jubilee. And that's according to the law. Now let's look at it from the standpoint of prophetic. The prophetical aspect of it is the other way of looking at it. And the pastor calls specific attention to the fact that there's these two and shows how well they come together. And here you have the 19 Jubilees that were kept half-heartedly, and you have the 51 cycles of 49 years instead of 50 times 50. You have 49 years because there were no Jubilees there, and therefore, looking at it from the standpoint of the prophetical picture, you come to what date? 51 cycles without Jubilees as they actually occurred and were mentioned in prophecy. 49 years each equals 2,490 years, or total years from entering Canaan to October 1874 is equal to 3,499 years. The period of 19 cycles and Jubilees, 950 years, and 51 cycles alone, 2,499 years equals 3,449. That brings us to October 1874, the date of the beginning of Earth's Great Jubilee Cycle. This kind of puts it together in one slide. And specifically, we're talking about this one-year period of time, looking at it from the standpoint of the 50 times 50 years, brings us to October 1875, according to the law, and according to the prophetic picture, October 1, 1874. One brings you to the beginning. The other one brings you to the first year of, or the first of the 1,000-year period of time. There's one more cycle of Jubilees that we don't talk about very often here. And that is what I refer to as a great grand Jubilee cycle. Brethren, there were to be 70 jubilees that were to be kept. How do we know that? Very specifically, the Lord told Israel that they would be punished 1 year for every jubilee they were supposed to have kept faithfully. And so, we have beginning at 626, when the last jubilee cycle was complete, a new cycle that begins. In this case, it's a picture of what is the total, what it should be. And that's 50 times 70, or 3,500 years. And interesting enough, that is the exact 626 to 2874. It brings us to the end of the seventh creative day. And it all works together in harmony with exactly what is shown us in all the pictures prior to that, all the lines of reasoning. From Israel's last typical jubilee, half-heartedly kept, till the end of the seventh creative day. Let's take a little look at the first 19 jubilees there. During the period of the kings, the 513 years that the pastor brings to our attention there, you had, and the period of the kings only covered part of that, you had the 19 jubilees that were half-heartedly kept there. It has been, it was at this point that Israel celebrated their last jubilee, and they would not be able to keep the 20th jubilee because of the fact that they would be in captivity after 19 years later. It was at the same point that the great grand jubilee cycle began to count. 50 times 70, 3,500 years. And we could say also it was at the same point, as is shown down here, as this being the first of 70 times 50, where the type ceases, the antitype begins to its count. It was at the same point the evening ended and the morning began. Another picture, another slide of the same thought. You have the evening ending in 626 at the end of the 19 jubilees, and then 50 times 70 equals 35, ending in 2874, the end of the seventh creative day. Now, specifically, in speaking with Brother David, he brought out that the reason why he felt the period of the kings was 50 years less is because of a co-reigning of the children with the father. And it shows specifically here that the first one was 4 years, and then there was one, one, and one. Those were not co-reigning years. It was just the way time fell for when the father died and the son took over. Then there was a long period of 24 years of co-reigning, and 8 and 11. The total is equal to 50 years total. And we mentioned that this is affecting our picture, our understanding of the jubilees. It has been always my understanding, at least, that the jubilee period was a 50-year period of time. But in these cases, you have a total of five periods of time where the jubilee no longer is 50 years of length. One of them is 46 years, another one's 47 years, another one is 26 years, 42 years, 36. That affects a total of five jubilees in our cycle. There's a cost related to changing our chronology. That shows it in each one of those specifically from the 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th jubilee would be affected. The result of that is, therefore, if you just look at the period of kings, you end up with one jubilee less. If you end up with one jubilee less on this end, you're going to have to add it down on the other end, which means the Jubilees could not end in 1874, 1878. They had to go on beyond that. Let's talk now about the 2,300 days of Daniel as another aspect of our line of reasoning as we look at chronology. In our study there, we've learned that the 70 weeks began in 606 when the nation of Israel was taken into captivity and ended in 36. There. The pastor makes some very, very strong statements in volume 2. Excuse me, volume 3. Here. He says, the point to be here noticed specifically is that the 490 days are a part of the 2,300 days, that's of Daniel's prophecy, a part marked off as a special interest to Daniel. Daniel was interested in this. And he says, in answer to his prayer about the restoration of Israel, Daniel was interested in his restoration of the restoration of Israel. We know that because he went and bowed down facing towards Jerusalem every day, and he got himself into trouble for it. Right? Always facing toward Jerusalem. There. As these 70 weeks or 490 days were a forepart of the 2,300 days, is what the point is, their fulfillment not only serves to show us when the 2,300 days began, but also to show what manner of time, literal or symbolic, was signified there. And more than this, this is a point to be considered even more so. More than this, the fulfillment of this prophecy of 70 weeks would serve to set a seal upon Daniel as a true prophet. Brethren, if we change this period of time, what is it doing to our beloved Daniel as a prophet? And upon all of his prophecies, not just this 2,300 days prophecy, but all of his prophecies. And especially, would it seal this vision of the 2,300 days? And we'll see how important that is. I don't know how much time we're going to be able to spend on that part of it, but we'll see how important that is to us. And thus, it was foretold that the 70 weeks should, among other things, serve to seal the vision and the prophet. These 70 weeks are 490 days, representing 490 years, each symbolic day representing a year. And being so fulfilled in this, the only time prophecy directly related to the first advent, it furnishes a key to some other prophecies, which will hereafter be shown to have been thus hidden in symbolic numbers, a day for year, until their time, their due time, had come for a solution. This time prophecy of the 2,300 days, and specifically of the 70 weeks, is very important, not to the second advent, but to the first advent. And 1260. The prophecy of the 2,300 days relates to the cleansing of the sanctuary. The sanctuary, in order to be cleansed, must first be polluted. The 1260 years becomes that part of the 2,300 years of Daniel's 2,300 day prophecy. And I think that's very important because we all want to look into prophecy. We all want to know as to what's going to take place even yet in the future. And it relates to the prophecies of the 1260 years. And so we have on our chart of the ages the 1260 days, or 1260 years beginning with 539 AD, the first of these three prophecies. 1290 days of Daniel's prophecies. There was three additional prophecies, remember, that we're going to look at. The 1290 becomes also a part of these 2300 days. Very specifically, you have the aspect of the fact to answer Daniel's questions, to answer Daniel's prayer, you had 2300 days. And within this, you had 1260 that would be the polluting of the sanctuary. And the 1290 would bring us to when the cleansing would begin to take place. Point it the right way. Miller's cleansing work. And we found this very interesting as we were studying the third volume. That everlasting, after we got done with the second volume, we got into the third volume. That one of the things that Miller brought out was that everlasting life is a reward for righteousness. And that death, a cutting off from life, is the punishment for willful sinners. Then came it to be seen what was meant by the curse of death, which came upon all the race through Adam's disobedience, that the whole race was condemned to extinction in Adam. Then, too, the veil began to lift, showing the object and the value of our Redeemer's death as the payment of the penalty upon the race, in order that there might be a resurrection, a restoration to life and its rights. This is all things that Miller brought out during this period of time when the hosts would be finally cleansed. Ah, then, the meaning of the ransom began to be appreciated. Began to be appreciated. As it was seen that he who knew no sin was treated as the accused. That being willingly substituted in our stead, he was made a curse for us, treated as a sinner for us, and died the just for the unjust. And this you'll find in the third volume on the pages actually preceding and leading up to 118. The 1290 years likewise is also a part of the 2300 years. The 1290 leads to the beginning of the cleansing work. The next prophecy of Daniel, you know, and I don't have a whole lot in here in reference to the end of the 2300 days, which the pastor brings out very clearly that the host was cleansed at that time. The 1335 days brings us to 1874. They all began at the same point, 536 AD. Now, brethren, I would like you to take a close look at this chart and look specifically at Daniel's prophecies, the last four items or lines that are on the chart there. All these are connected together. All of them are dependent one upon the other. The 1335 days, the work of our pastor, could not have happened, could not have taken place, had the two preceding things not taken place. Let's think about it there. There had to be a pollution of the sanctuary in order for a cleansing to take place. No cleansing would be necessary if it wasn't first polluted. And the fact that there was a cleansing that started to work, then the pastor could come in and do his work. Stop and think about it. What did Miller do? What did Brother Miller do? Well, basically, he went out and he brought out the time prophecies and so on and began to call the people back into the churches. Right? He gathered them back into the churches. It was necessary because the work of the pastor to call them out of the churches could not take place unless they had first been called back in. step by step by step, the Lord had it so well laid out, all connected together. What did our Lord bring, or what did our Lord bring out through the seventh messenger? The ransom, the sin offering, justification, sanctification, atonement, resurrection, restitution, the abomination, desolation. Write down the vision on table, our chart. The permission of evil, the return of our Lord, the beginning of His reign, chronology, prophecy, jubilee, the tabernacle, understanding of Hebrews, and the Great Pyramid. And that's a small list. The next step or line of reasoning has to do with the seven stages of the church. And specifically, the last one. There. Our Revelation account indicates that the Laodicean church, stage of the church, would take place when the Jubilee trumpet would blow. It also indicates the fact that it would take place when the Lord was present, knocking at the door. And so, in our chronology picture, this period of time has to happen here. If you say the 6,000 years or the beginning of His reign, because you remember He went off into a far country to receive a kingdom, and having received that kingdom, He returned. And the first thing He does is He deals with His servants. In reality, the first thing He does is deal with a servant. He chooses a servant that would fulfill Matthew, the 24th chapter. It was required that there be one that dispenses the meat in due season to the household of faith, because that's what the Scriptures said would happen. And so when our Lord returned in 1874, His first executive act, and I please understand here, at this point here, this is different than what the pastor says. You won't find the pastor saying his first executive act was to deal with determining who would be the servant. That would be pointing the finger too much at himself. Okay? So his first executive act really was choosing a servant and educating him, training him. Because in 1878, the message started going forth to the household. The next step. Our Lord said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up again. And of course, the important part here, He was talking about the temple of His body. Look at the chart there. If and providing our Lord died in the year 4161 from world's time there, or AD 33, He died in the fifth 1,000-year day. And then we have our text of Scriptures, our comments that we can find in the comment book. And I'm going to hurry on here because our time is running out here. Very specifically, during this period of time, that He says, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So when we're talking about the rising up of this temple class, we're talking about the dead in Christ who will have part in the first resurrection, and very specifically, the chart here indicates that the first day was in the 5,000-year period, the second 6,000-year, and then early in the morning, that's a mistake. That's a typo. I didn't see that before. 1878. Switch the numbers around. Sorry about that. Early in the morning, the sleeping saints would be raised. Early in the morning. The declaration of the scriptures is that the deliverance of the church will come early in the morning of the millennial day. The millennial day is the 7,000-year day. First day, second day, third day. If we were to accept this change in chronology, and you'll note, brethren, specifically here, what we've done is take the 6,000 years and we've moved it sideways, this period of 170 years here. If we would accept that, then, and by moving the scale to 2043 has been suggested, being the end of the 6,000 years, the results of it would be that our Lord would have died on the fourth 1,000 year, the second, the third day when he raised up would be 1878, but it would be in the 6,000 year day and not the seventh. That affects our chronology. The last point. I'm sorry for rushing through this. This gives you an overview. My point and desire to do in reference to this is to encourage you to prayerfully study this out and to make it your own and follow Brother Levi's suggestion is apply it to the chart. The last point that I would like to make is in reference to the Great Pyramid. The Great Pyramid, as is shown here, was built and completed in 2170. I'm going to give you a challenge in reference to that. Okay. The scriptures, I think I have as a next slide. No, I don't. Would you turn that back? The scriptures indicate to us in Isaiah, the 19th chapter, in the 19th verse, that there will be a pillar in the midst of the land and at the border thereof. But specifically that it would be for a sign and a witness unto the Lord in that day. And I emphasize that. I think I did. Okay? In that day. If we would move this day over to 2043, beginning there, then the Great Pyramid has not been revealed to you yet. It was in 1890. That Pastor Russell wrote and connected it directly with the third volume, it's my understanding, there, the Pyramid Chapter. And it was at this point in time that the Great Pyramid became a sign and a witness unto the Lord in that day. Now here's your challenge. If the pyramid was finished in 2170. And if in providing Ham and his wife were the two of Noah's children that left the land where the ark landed and went to Egypt. And it was their children that were used to build the Great Pyramid. Tell me how many years it would take to bring forth enough children to build that Great Pyramid. It's my understanding it took about 20,000 people. If in providing, you move the chronology to the date 2043 as being the end of 6,000 years, if I have my mathematics right, that gives us 111 years from the time the flood was dried up from off the face of the earth to the time when the Great Pyramid was complete. Not when it began to be built. It's my understanding also that it took approximately 20 years to build the Great Pyramid. In 111 years... I would like you to prove to me that you can develop a workforce of 20,000 people from one couple and their children. There are some of you that are going to be, within the next couple of weeks, beginning the study of the Great Pyramid. I'd recommend highly that you look at Brother William Wright's, and I said Brother Miller, and it's Brother William Wright's letter that he sent to Piazza Smith and his comments, Piazza Smith's comments back from him, which are right there. In closing out, our final thoughts. Brother Edmund and I sat down, and I was trying to convince him that he should become a computer man. He loves to draw. And he says, well, what can you do with this? And so we started messing around with the computer and showing, and I brought up how we could take and put Brother Russell's picture on a slide. And he says, well, because of the way that the slide is, you need something to fill out the slide. What are you going to put on there? And between the two of us, we came up with two statements. I love this statement over here. It's found on very next to the last page of the first volume. No system of theology even claims or has ever attempted to harmonize in itself every statement of the Bible. Yet nothing short of this can we claim for the views, these views. Page 348 of Volume 1. That statement says to me, to your speaker, that Brother Russell was the seventh messenger. Think about it. Every statement of the Scriptures, a harmony of every statement of the Scriptures, it makes Brother Russell either the world's largest liar or the seventh messenger. And for this speaker, I believe that he was the seventh messenger. The views that he presented harmonize every statement of the Bible. And it wasn't because of Brother Russell. It was because of the fact that as a servant, he opened the storehouse of the Lord and brought the things forth. Now, in closing, the last statement, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which shortly must be done. In reference to that, I would like to take and rewrite that, just strictly so that you understand who the he's and so on and so forth are. And Jesus Christ said unto John, or the John class, these sayings are faithful and true, and my Father, the Lord God of the holy prophets, sent the seventh messenger to show unto his servants, you and I, the things which must shortly be done. Take a look at the book of Revelation specifically. This is how he ends up the Bible. Take a look at Revelation. Does he not tell you about time is no more? Does he not tell you that there is 1,260 days? Does he not bring to you the time sequences of the presence of the Lord in the third chapter of Revelation, standing at the door knocking, and the message related thereto? Does he not tell us about the second and the fourth volume? Does he not tell you, that is, the destruction of the great whore? Does he not tell you about the fifth volume, the sixth volume, when he talks to you about the bride, the Lamb's wife? And is that not the things that thrill us to the extent, brethren, because of the things we hear, we are thankful for the pastor. And Lord, add his blessing.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm filled up. You know, you talk about meat in due season. That's a full meal. So your assignment for the intermission is to get some exercise so you can take on some more in the last session. We thank you, Brother Laddie, for a very, very, very in-depth study of chronology. And I don't know about you, but it sure helps to see it up on a screen like that instead of just try to picture it in your mind. So we're very thankful for that. We're running a little bit late, brethren, so in the interest of time, we'll omit the closing hymn, and we will simply rise and be dismissed with a word of prayer. I would like you to just, once we're dismissed, just be seated for one quick announcement before the intermission, after the prayer. So stand up, Brother Laddie will dismiss us, then be seated for a quick announcement.
Holy Father, with reverence we come into thy hallowed presence to thank thee for this privilege that we have of learning of thee and of sharing these wonderful, wonderful truths that have encouraged us and strengthened us along the way. And Father, where we have said anything or done anything amiss, we ask thy forgiveness and pray that thou would dismiss it from our hearts. But more than anything, Father, we ask for a measure of thy spirit that we might understand more and love thee more through thy truth. We long for the point and time when we'll pass beyond the veil and be with thee. We long for the time of being able to share with the world of mankind this wonderful kingdom that you are establishing. And Father, we remember thy loved ones wherever they might be. Bless them as thou knowest how. In the name of Jesus Christ.